Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with Vertigo survivor John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, how's that Vertigo going? You hanging in there?
It's better today than it was yesterday. I had a really odd spell yesterday. I wasn't driving, though. I was just sitting there and felt as though my head was getting ready to move somewhere other than my shoulders.
Well, if you're not available for this week, it'll have to be next man up.
Who's the next man?
I don't know. The roster is getting thinner all the time. But I hope you're available because big game for the Vols this weekend. At number 12, Tennessee will play at number 3, Georgia on Saturday. CBS billing for Tennessee. First game to be televised on CBS since 2018. And I thought Tennessee made a lot of improvements from week 1 to week 2, John, but of course, the same could be said for Georgia. They really didn't have much trouble in handling Auburn on Saturday. But, you know, with as good as Tennessee's offensive line looked against Missouri, is there reason for hope in this game for Tennessee? Is there reason to think that the Vols can beat Georgia for the first time since 2016?
Very much so, Blake. I mean, Georgia has a great defense, probably the best in the country. And it's starting a fifth-string quarterback. That, to me, is kind of the bottom line. Can Tennessee not beat a team playing its fifth-best quarterback?
Yeah, take us through the depth chart there, John, for maybe people that aren't as well-versed as in the five deep of Georgia's depth chart like you are. Take us out Georgia got to fifth-string quarterback Stetson Bennett.
Well, let's really go back to last season when – Jake Fromm, 3-0 against Tennessee, said, "I'm going pro, guys. See ya." Jake's out of the way. Then in comes Jamie Newman, the transfer from Wake Forest, supposedly another first-round draft pick. I didn't really see that when I watched Wake Forest last year, but what do I know? Anyway, so it's his job, but Jamie decided to opt out. I'm not exactly why. Maybe he thought he couldn't beat out the fifth-string quarterback. So Jamie's gone. Then you've got JT Daniels, a transfer from quarterback from Southern Cal, who I think might have been the second true freshman quarterback ever to start for Southern Cal. I mean, Southern Cal's had some pretty good quarterbacks. He got hurt last year. In fact, he got hurt so badly that he needed surgery and things haven't healed up right away. So, boom, he's gone too because he hadn't been cleared to play. That last week he was cleared to play for whatever that's worth, but he didn't play. So you've got Jamie Newman, JT Daniels out of the way. DeJuan Mathis, a redshirt freshman who had brain surgery last season, starts the opener, played like a fifth-string quarterback. He's out of there. So then Carson Beck, a true freshman, I guess they decided that he wasn't ready. So in comes Stetson Bennett, former walk-on. Let me get this right. He wanted to enroll in Georgia because his dream was to be a quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs. Not just a quarterback, the starting quarterback. But he didn't win the job. So there were two guys ahead of him, Justin Fields and Jake Fromm. I would say he's a distant third there. So he transfers to junior college with the intent of playing somewhere else. After junior college, somewhere else doesn't come, so he goes back to Georgia. So joins the Bulldogs and backs up Jake Fromm again last season. And now coming into this season, lo and behold, he's the number one guy. I mean, has there ever been a weirder way for a quarterback to go through the SEC through one school? I can't recall it.
The lesson there, John, is never give up on your dream. He achieved his dream of becoming the Georgia Bulldogs starting quarterback, a circuitous route to get there. But after no one else picked him up out of junior college, back at Georgia he went.
Well, what if Jake Fromm would have come back for his senior season and Jamie Newman from Wake Forest had transferred here to Georgia to try and beat him out? JT Daniels would have done the same. Then we would have had Stetson Bennett as a sixth-string quarterback.
You know, I think you're not giving him enough credit because if he was fifth string, then he'd be behind Carson Beck. Like, you know, really, he was probably the fourth string guy because we haven't gotten to Beck, right?
Yeah, Carson Beck. I think that was going into the season. A highly recruited four-star guy probably needs to put on a little weight to take an SEC beating. But he's got a big arm. He's pretty athletic. So that's why I was putting it at fifth string going back to the preseason. But no, clearly he's no longer fifth string. And he's ahead of Carson Beck. And apparently ahead of JT Daniels, which I still don't understand.
So I guess the question then becomes, you know, we've talked about Jarrett Garantano so much on this podcast, but do we think Jarrett Garantano is up to the task of out-dueling a former fifth-string quarterback?
Yeah. Bo Nix couldn't do it last week for Auburn, and he's a five-star. I think Stetson Bennett might have peaked with that game against Auburn. I think when coaches really take him seriously and say, this is whom we've got to deal with, they're going to find that there's some holes in his game. There was a reason he was a fifth-string quarterback, a two-star recruit, and a walk-on. So, yeah, Jarrett Garantano, to me, Tennessee has a quarterback advantage going into this game, clearly. Do you not agree with that?
Well, maybe, but I guess I look at what Garantano has done throughout the course of his career against the trio of Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. Garantano's played 8 games against those 3 teams throughout the course of his career. Mm-hmm. His completion percentage in those 8 games is 52.7%. He averages 76 passing yards per game against those 3 opponents. And he has 2 total touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. Now, those are his 8 games total. He's had 5 starts against those teams. Of the 8 games, 5 are starts, and his numbers, whether a starter or a reserve, don't really matter. They're pretty comparable. And so, really, Garantano's been at his worst when he's played Georgia, Florida, or Alabama. And I guess that's not necessarily surprising because those are the toughest teams on Tennessee's schedule. But, you know, I think we've established that Garantano's a pretty average quarterback. He has his moments where he looks pretty good. He has his moments where he looks pretty bad, but it sort of levels out, and he's an average SEC quarterback. And a lot of times that's good enough to beat average SEC teams, but we haven't seen that it's been good enough for him to be effective against the best that the SEC has to offer. And so when you look at Georgia's defense, I mean, you know, here we are 10 minutes into this podcast, and we've been talking about the quarterbacks, but really, does it even really matter who plays quarterback for Georgia? I mean, maybe we've established that it doesn't if they're the number 3 team in the country with a fifth string quarterback, because they might have the nation's best defense. As the football world goes to a more passing frenzied approach, by and large, Georgia still hasn't really changed. There's still that old school football for the most part, relying on defense and a running game. So does Tennessee have the advantage at quarterback? You could maybe make that argument, but I guess I'm not sure that it really matters in this particular matchup. And I would say that given Garantano's track record against quality opponents, I'm not really sure that they do have an advantage at quarterback.
Well, look at the offensive lines he played behind for some of those games. I mean, they were horrendous. This is an elite offensive line. It showed that against Missouri. And it has Cade Mays in that. Wanya Morris has stepped up from last season, and Trey Smith is an All-American. Georgia's defense is – there are really no holes in the defense. There's not one area you can point to and say that's a weakness. And they've got NFL prospects all over the defense. However, I think Georgia is accustomed to stopping the run first and foremost. I think Tennessee's going to be able to run on them some. I think Jim Chaney's off to a great start as a play caller. And I think sometimes when teams are accustomed to being dominant against the run or in any area, and they find they can't just shut down an opponent, I think it affects them psychologically. Gosh, I'm really overthinking this. But I just think Tennessee will be able to run some on Georgia. Obviously, it has to. But I just think with getting back to the quarterback situation, I don't think you can beat the best teams in the country with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. I'm not saying Tennessee is, but it is ranked 12th. I just don't know if you can win a game with a quarterback of his caliber. He's got a weak arm, and because of his weak arm, it takes one of the best receivers in the country out of the deep passing game with George Pickens. I mean, he's a great one-on-one guy. He can beat people deep. He didn't do much against Auburn. So you squeeze the field, and then you get to Georgia's running backs. Yeah, they're four deep at running back. But Zamir White, their lead guy, the number one running back in the country when he was signed, is not an elite running back now. He's had two ACL surgeries. He runs hard. He can break a couple of tackles. He's just not an elite running back. He's not going to make a big play. They don't have Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel back there. None of those guys are that caliber.
And it's interesting, John, because Jeremy Pruitt, at his Monday press conference, he served up Georgia one big old dose of rat poison.
I think it's one of the better teams that I've seen in college football over the last couple of years. I think these guys have a lot of team speed.
He called Georgia one of the best teams college football has seen the last couple of years.
They've got good speed and they're physical on the coverage team, so they don't have a weakness, and it'll be a tremendous
challenge. He said this is a team that doesn't have a weakness. And yet, I'm listening to you here, and you've sort of made Georgia out to – you've conceded that they have a pretty good defense, but offensively, you've more or less made them out to be rubbish. So what's the truth here? Is this one of the best teams that college football has seen the last couple of years, like Jeremy Pruitt has said? Or is this, a top 25 team to be sure, but – no real juggernaut that Tennessee is going to be going up against on Saturday.
No, I think it's a top 10 team. It may be a top 5 team if JT Daniels ever gets well enough to play. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, if Kirby actually thinks, well, it's Stetson's won the job, we won a couple of games with him, we'll stick with him, I think he's making a horrible mistake. Try that against Alabama in a couple of weeks and see how it works. Gonna have to score a lot of points against Alabama. I don't care how good your defense is. I just don't see Georgia as tell you about the best, one of the best teams around. I mean, look what happened to it in the SEC championship against LSU. Now, LSU last year, that was one of the best college football teams of all time, granted. But how good did Georgia's defense look against that offense? It was overwhelmed. And basically, you have the backups on that defense are playing other starters now, and they have some other quality backups. I'm not downgrading the defense. I think Tennessee will find a way to move the ball on it, and I think Georgia needs to put JT Daniels in at quarterback to win this game, and maybe it will.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if JT Daniels isn't the quarterback by the time – or someone different isn't the quarterback by the time it gets to that Alabama game. I'll be curious to see – what we see from Georgia's quarterback position on Saturday, whether it is Stetson Bennett's game, unless he plays poorly, or whether Georgia, thinks it might need to try a couple options, even if Bennett is playing serviceably. But I guess, what do you think about the way Kirby Smart handles his quarterback position, John? Because it feels like as college football moves to a more quarterback-driven game, Georgia still is kind of that relic from the past of, I mean, look, Jake Fromm was a very efficient quarterback throughout his Georgia career, I think. But I don't think he was the most dynamic guy. He wasn't the most prolific passer in the league. But he seemed to be the type of quarterback that Kirby Smart wants directing his team. I mean, do you think Georgia's approach is a little bit antiquated, or do you think this is more of a smart approach and Kirby playing with the pieces he has and winning in the ways that their roster is set up to win?
Blake, what I think is imperative with coaches is that they fit the offense for the quarterback. I mean, if they have a Kyler Murray back there, yeah, you want him running, you want him making plays, you want to allow him to be to improvise. If you have a Jake Fromm or even a JT Daniels, Daniels is a drop back passer. I mean, Bennett can move around the pocket. He's got a good sense of the pocket. He moves around back there pretty well. I think you've got it. I just think you don't want to, you never want to deal in absolutes. You look what Nick Saban's done. He went with a true freshman, Jalen Hurts, a running quarterback, after pretty much relying on caretakers, a slight upgrade over Stetson Bennett, if you will. Then you go from that, you go to Tua Tagovailoa, who could do a lot of things. He was very mobile. He could create stuff and a great passer. So Saban adjusted the offense to fit his skills. And now he has Matt Jones in there, who is a classic drop back passer. And Alabama's offense is just whirling right along with great efficiency again. So I just think you have to be flexible. But if you have a dynamic guy in there at quarterback who can run or pass, who can create things, throw on the run, as opposed to a drop back guy, then you got to go with the best player.
Yeah, I guess, John, though, to be more direct, I mean, you mentioned what Saban has done. I guess I'd follow that up with, do you think Kirby's willing to do what Saban has done? Because you look at it, you know, I think if you offered you and I Justin Fields or Jake Fromm to be the starting quarterback, I think you and I would say we'd rather have Justin Fields. If we were coaching a team, we'd rather have Justin Fields as my starting quarterback. Now, granted, hindsight is real easy, and I don't think we quite knew what Justin Fields was capable of until he left Georgia. But I do wonder, you know, if you showed Kirby Smart Jake Fromm's game and said, you can have this guy running your offense, and you showed him Justin Fields' game and said, or you could have this guy running your offense, I think Nick Saban has evolved enough now to where he'd say, I'll take Justin Fields, thank you very much, and hand us the national championship trophy right now. I'm not so sure Kirby Smart would. I might think he might still take Jake Fromm as his quarterback.
I agree with you. However, when I was told by Georgia insiders that when Justin Fields was there, he did not look like the quarterback he did at Ohio State. He was inaccurate. He wasn't picking up the offense right away. Now, when he went to Ohio State said, we're going to run an offense for this guy. Now, Kirby didn't do that with him as a true freshman after he'd come within one great play of winning the national championship. Tua made the great play, and I think that's a really defining moment when you say, what kind of quarterback do you want? You want the guy that can make that 4th-and-20 throw or whatever it was to win a game. And those guys aren't all over the place, but they're out there, and Oklahoma always seems to have one. So, yeah, I think at some point, I mean, if I'm the coach, I want the quarterback who can run too. It puts tremendous pressure on a defense. But I agree with you. I think Kirby has been real slow to that. And I think at some point he will make that adjustment. But he's recruiting the kind of quarterbacks that do drop back and throw the ball and aren't especially dynamic as a running threat. And again, we're not talking a running quarterback per se. We're talking about a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who's a drop back passer. But when he has to, he runs 65 yards for a touchdown against one of the best teams in the country to put his team in a national championship game. We're talking about Joe Burrow, who was a drop back passer, but when he needed to run, he ran for about 40 yards against Alabama last year. He makes plays outside the pocket. That's what we're talking about. And that's the quarterback, to me, the ideal quarterback that everybody needs and should want.
John, you mentioned you think Tennessee can have some, as good as Georgia's defense is, that Tennessee can have some running success in this game. And you made the point that you'd rather have Garantano as your quarterback with Stetson Bennett. I pointed out what Garantano's done in rivalry games throughout the course of his career. But the more I think about it, yeah, if you offered me the same amount of talent around the quarterback position, equal talent, and the offering was Garantano or Stetson Bennett, sure, I would definitely take Garantano if you're offering me the same talent around me. But moving past that, you know, I think even with all that said, Tennessee's probably not going to be able to win in a high scoring game here. I just don't see Georgia's defense allowing, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. I'd be surprised, you know, if Tennessee's able to run this game into the 30s. So is Tennessee's defense good enough from what you've seen through the first couple weeks? If this is a game that has to be won, you know, with the winning score, maybe 24 points, 27 points, somewhere in that range, is Tennessee's defense, are they showing you enough to make you think that, yeah, Tennessee could go out and win this game, say, you know, 21-17 or 24-21 on Saturday night?
It will have to play better than it has. Too many open receivers for both Missouri and South Carolina. Shai Smith in the opener, bedeviled Tennessee secondary. Missouri dropped too many passes, as you pointed out in your story. But I just think with Georgia, what you do, you crowd the line of scrimmage and take Pickens out of the game. I know Kyrus Jackson had about 9 catches last week against Auburn, but he doesn't scare me. I don't think Georgia will run the ball as well on Tennessee as it did on Auburn. I'm not impressed after 2 games. I'm not as so impressed with Auburn. I think Tennessee, its linebackers have to come up big, and its defensive front, that will be crucial. It's got to hold its own in the defensive front. And its DBs needs to make Georgia pay when Bennett doesn't get the ball there on time or when he underthrows a guy. I just think you squeeze the field on that offense because he completed a deep ball against Auburn because the receiver came back and caught it. He just pretty much came to a stop. So, yeah, I think Tennessee can do it, but I think it has to play better than it has, but I think it has a potential. I also think that it depends on what Kirby Smart does. I just think, I mean, to me, I'm going with JT Daniels, unless there's still something wrong with him. I don't care that he hadn't played yet. He started for Southern Cal as a freshman. I mean, not just anybody can do that. And so that's the move. And I don't think Tennessee could beat Georgia with Daniels at quarterback. I think it can beat Georgia with Bennett at quarterback.
Yeah, if Bennett's a quarterback, I think it would be awful tempting for a coach to, in Tennessee's situation, to stick 8 guys in the box and say, hey, if Stetson Bennett can throw over the top and beat our defense continually that way, then so be it, you know, because I think containing Georgia's running game is vital and making Bennett beat you. It would surprise me if Kirby Smart makes a quarterback change in this game because, you know, coaches are so reluctant to make change when they're winning ball games. And, you know, they did make a change at quarterback in game 1, but that's because they got off to such a sluggish start. And then Bennett comes in, they win that game. They win Auburn without much issue. It could be the right thing to do to make a change, but, you know, we see time and time again, coaches are unwilling to make a change until they almost have to.
You're right, and that often determines championships. Those are the decisions that coaches have to be able to make. The Bill Belichicks of the world don't have any trouble making that decision. Take the sentiment out of it. Just analyze the situation and say, okay, who gives me the best chance to win this game? Look what Stetson Bennett has done. Okay, he beats Arkansas. He comes off the bench to beat Arkansas, which is clearly one of the worst teams in the conference. I know it beat Mississippi State, but it's not a good team. It's not a good defense. Then he beats Auburn, and I'm not so sure now how good Auburn is. He has not been in a difficult situation yet. He hasn't been in a situation with a lot of pressure yet. And maybe he can handle it. Maybe this guy has so much moxie and poise that he can handle it.
Moxie, that's a word that gets thrown around a lot for guys that are former fifth-string quarterbacks, right?
I will give him credit. He made a throw against Auburn that I didn't think he could make. Scrambled out of the pocket, ran left. Two guys are in pursuit. He's running full speed to his left. It's a right-handed thrower. Pulls up and throws the ball on a run and completes the pass. I was really impressed with that. You don't expect two-star recruits to make that play. Some four-stars can't. But I just think Jeremy Pruitt, as much as he knows about defense, is going to be able to exploit the weaknesses in this guy's game. I will be shocked if he doesn't.
All right, John, we'll close with the prediction time. Tennessee, you know, on this 8-game winning streak, but hasn't beat a ranked opponent during that streak. I mean, that's no criticism of the Vols. The schedule is what the schedule is. They beat who was in front of them during that 8 games. But now we got a chance to see how legitimate that 8-game winning streak is. I'll go first here. I'll say Georgia, I just think their defense is too strong, and I'm not sure Tennessee's defense has showed me enough to believe they're up to the task here. So I will take Georgia 27-14 in this game. You?
I'll go with Tennessee in an upset, kind of though with a disclaimer there. I think if JT Daniels is a quarterback, I think Georgia wins. But if Kirby sticks with Stetson Bennett, I think Tennessee will win.
How about a score?
I'll say 20-17, Tennessee.
All right, John. It should be pretty interesting. Definitely the most marquee game on the first half of Tennessee's schedule. We'll be back to break it down next week. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.
Hi, I'm Blake Topmeyer, and I cover UT football for Knox News. I'm impressed by the passion this fan base has for the Vols, and I enjoy bringing you analysis of the team you love. It's also my job to hold coaches and administrators accountable for their decisions. Vols fans deserve that type of coverage. And nothing beats a fall Saturday in an SEC stadium. The support of Knox News allows me to do this rewarding sports journalism. If you want to hear more stories like this, consider becoming a subscriber and go to knoxnews.com/subscribe. Thank you for listening.